Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy Carlson here. What a busy time of the year. Christmas, boy, did you have a great time with family. We did, and now approaching this year end. We'll talk about that in a moment. Some exciting things to share with you. I'll share with you in a few minutes from our Intentional Living Center. A while ago, a month ago or so, we talked about boundaries and had so many calls. We wanted to continue on talking a little bit about what boundaries are. Are they biblical, not biblical? How do they work in marriages and Christian families, in relationships? How do they work with in-laws and so on in a way that honors Christ? And I have what I call my formula, the ABCs. If you're having difficulty meshing with people that you love, people in your family, and you don't know how to handle this boundary issue, the ABCs of doing this. I'll get to that in just a moment. If you want to join in with a comment today when you hear something, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717, press number 2 for our comment line, or number 4 to talk to one of our staff. If you have a year-end gift you'd like to help us close out the year, you can use that same number, 888-888-1717, press number 4 and say you're calling for Intentional Living. Boy, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, let's get to our first caller. Phyllis is on the line in Michigan. Phyllis, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
Well, it's just trying to deal with family turmoil. We've had a lot of grief with a 16-year-old grandchild, it's my son's daughter. And my daughter has two children, and there's so much turmoil in that area also. Mm. The 16-year-old, my daughter doesn't appreciate how her brother raises his children. And so that has brought havoc and a lot of conflict. But
and you get sucked into it because you're mom.
Yeah, because I want to have my family together on the holidays. We don't get together on the holidays. We don't, you know, there's just nothing. It's just emptiness, I feel.
Yeah, I understand that. So they're at war with each other sort of over how they're doing their families.
Yes, yeah. And I have to respect that they can choose to raise their children their way. Both of them raised them differently, but I still feel it's important for us to get together as a family, but we don't. We just stay apart.
Yeah, it's important for you, but it's not important for them. Or
right.
It is, but they don't want the grief with it. So right. you're the one losing in this deal.
Yes,
everybody is, but ultimately you're the one feeling the pain because your children, the siblings aren't getting along.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I try to spend a day with my son, and then I go and spend a day with my daughter, but she's generally not even wanting to. She's had a lot of grief with her son, and it's brought a lot of heartache, especially this time of year. Her son's in the Marine Corps, and he's angry at her, and so he's just bringing so much strife and grief. And,
mm-hmm.
I want to go to him and I want to tell him, why do you do this? Why are you behaving like this? You're angry with your mom, but he's in the Marine Corps. He needs to be settling this the turmoil, the anger that he's got with his mother. But because his mother is my daughter, he doesn't want to talk to me. And mm-hmm. and it's just,
well, it sounds like you've got an angry family.
Very much so. It is so.
And I think we just got to look at it for what it is. Sometimes there's almost a culture within a family that things are built around a certain emotion, and it feels like the touch anger for your family is anger, and emotion rather is anger. And so when it builds up into the kind of like the garbage can, I call emotional ooze, when it gets to the top and you can't hold the can down any longer, it just oozes out with anger. Now, brother and sister aren't getting along, and now the grandson's not getting along with mom, your daughter, and there's anger. And mom Phyllis is a pleaser and wants to fix everything.
Well, that's what my daughter tells me. Mom, you got to quit fixing everything and just take care of yourself, because I have always been a caregiver. I took care of my mother for 8 years. I took care of my dad when he died of cancer. I took care of my brother. And now I feel lost because I have no one to take care of.
Can I suggest something that you quit?
Quit how?
You resign. You resign. Oh. I think you need to, if you want to be creative, send a resignation letter to your kids and saying, I love you guys, but I resign from trying to be the arbiter, the fixer, the the controller, the counselor, the pastor, whatever it is.
And that's what I've done for the most part. But the 16-year-old granddaughter, I can't just drop and say, you're on your own, go do whatever you got to do, because she's been in juvenile hall. She's been, she just had so much grief that she's brought on upon herself.
But how are you responsible for that?
Well, I can't walk away from her. I don't want to see her out in the streets. I'm scared to death she's going to run away. That's my biggest fear, is that she's going to get angry with everything going on in her life. And at 16, you know, they know better than anybody else. And by running away, that's going to fix her problem.
Well, I'm not suggesting that you resign from your love for your children, and certainly not for your grandchildren. I'm not suggesting you tell your grandchildren, I'm resigning. I'm telling, it sounds to me like your children got an issue.
Yes,
and you're trying to be the fixer, and I would encourage you, Phyllis, because you're not going to change your adult children.
Right. And I have pretty much turned and walked away from their conflict. I know they don't get along with each other in the same environment, so we don't have the family dinners or whatever at Christmas.
Sad.
And the holidays.
Terrible.
But it's still a big emptiness in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I would take that love that you have. And you got a lot of it, and you want to help people. There are people out there who will receive that. There are people in your community during this holiday season who need help. There are families and individuals and single moms and dads and other people. Well, why don't you just say, hey, I'm going to take some of this love and attention and concern, because God's made you a helper. He's made you a hand person, as I call it, a heart-hand person. You got a big heart, and you want to do things. My guess is you're a heart-hand person. You got a big heart, and you want to do things to help people.
Right.
And I would turn all of that love and attention maybe to people who care and want it. And there's people in your church and people in your community, and find some of the joy of serving people who will receive that attention. I think your daughter's giving you the best advice. Mom, you can't fix it. Just back off and pray for your kids. Does that make the hurt go away? No. But I think sometimes we get stuck emotionally, again, with an expectation that's never going to be met, or it won't be met now. And whenever we have an expectation that says, I can change my kids, or I can change my in-laws, or I can change my neighbor, or I can change my spouse, you're only setting yourself up for disappointment and defeat. And again, as I often say, we always have good intentions. That's how I judge myself. But we're always being judged on expectation, which whenever they're not met creates disappointment always. Okay, Phyllis, appreciate it. I think you understand it. It's just a matter of grieving the loss. Boy, that hurts. Listen, there's something about December. We know that depression goes up in December. We know there's more conflict in December. And a lot of it has to do with the level of expectations we wrap around this season of the year, Christmas, New Year's, this whole time of year. We have a lot of expectations. I mean, all the Christmas music we played up until Christmas time, you heard, you know, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and all these songs were filled with unrealistic expectations, frankly. Now, some of you did have a white Christmas, but maybe not so cheery on the inside of the home. And so being careful not to have expectations that are unreasonable. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. Love to have you join in with your thoughts, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Well, here it is, the end of the week, and just a few hours away from the end of the year for our Intentional Living Ministry. I look back over 2018, and I think of some of the high points of the conferences that we were able to do and seeing hundreds of people stand. Wow. Some of you may be listening now. You stood at that conference or conferences and made a commitment for Christ, a commitment for your marriage to do one thing. I pray, and we've been praying for you, that you'd stay the course throughout this year, to talk to thousands of people on the radio and in person to help you live an intentional life in Christ, and the difference we know that makes. And we're right now at the end of the year. Can't believe it. Just a few hours left. And I'm going to ask you one more time for your help to be a difference maker, as I say, a finisher. And your most generous gift to the Intentional Living Ministry is essential frankly, we've been looking at the mail the last couple of days, and we've been running behind where we need to be. But let me just tell you flat out where we are as of this, as of today. The report is we have just $67,500 to go to reach the fully funded status for intentional living by this calendar year end, December 31st. That means today and over this weekend and on Monday, we really need your help. So I'm going to just very boldly ask for some of you who could share just a very generous gift and to know that it will be matched. The friends continue to match your gifts. They too want to make sure that the ministry closes strong. Would you join us? Your best gift, $100, $500, $1,000, being matched dollar for dollar for intentional living. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com or call 888-1717. That's 888-1717. And thank you for your support. All right, let's continue on with calls. Let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie is in Virginia with a question for me today. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. As a Christian adult who loves her parents dearly, I still feel, especially in my relationship with my mother, that there's still a parenting element going on with her towards me. And I am married with three children, yet I still feel at times that she still tries to parent me and still tries to guide me in decision-making. Not so much just giving me advice, but really trying to steer me into a direction that may not be a right choice for me or may not be something I agree with. But as a Christian, and you want to honor your parents, and you know that they're speaking out of love, how do you set that boundary with your parents to be able to say, I am an adult, I am a 33-year-old woman with three children, and I can make a decision, even if it is one they don't agree with or understand? How do you draw that line in that relationship respectfully and honoring them still as your parents?
Mm-hmm. It's a question we get a lot of, Stephanie, and there's a theme on that. How do we do this with honor and do it respectfully? I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of the relationship. If you have a really good relationship with mom and dad, and they're just really good parents that are just can't shut that off. Hello, there's many of us. I struggle with this. I'm a fixer. I mean, look at what I do every day on the radio. I'm a fixer. I'm here to help fix you, right? You know? And so I admit that that's a tendency that I have with my own kids, my adult children who are doing a great job, you know, with their own kids and their own lives here. So I see something, it's easy for them to say, hey, I have an idea, or hey, had you thought about this? It's easy to happen. But if you have a good relationship and it's bothering you, I would take the approach of just sitting down with them, not when it happens, but another time and say, guys, listen, you know what? One thing you could do, mom and dad, that'd be really helpful to me would be just to give me a little space by not offering a suggestion. Can we come up with a word that I can use or a phrase that I use that lets you know that you're doing that? In other words, just really talk to them and see if they get buy-in and work on it together. If that's not the case, if you have maybe a little more strained relationship, you may need to just be very firm in saying, mom, I love you, but listen, when you do that, it just really hurts. And when that happens, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to withdraw, or I'm going to leave, or I'm going to give you this phrase and let you know that I'm withdrawing because that's how I'm feeling right now. Because if you don't communicate, what will happen is this is where this thing the Bible talks about, bitterness, little seeds of bitterness that start to take root, this is where they begin. It's the little things that get into the soil that grow, that create a problem in families. So that's what I would work on if I were you. Okay, Corey is in Kansas, and to talk about intentional living, leaving, you know, one of the things we like, by the way, before I go to Corey, we love to have you share your success stories. You can always comment, just like Corey has done, and you can share yours when you go to 888-1717. Here's Corey. Go ahead, Corey.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name's Corey. I live in the wonderful state of Kansas, and I'm a single mother, and one thing I do to live intentionally for myself and my daughter is I take care of myself. And how I do that is for the last 13 years, I've gone to recovery meetings for alcohol and drug addiction. And it just helps me kind of fill that bucket with something besides guilt and shame for my past. I fill my bucket with recovery. And also I go to church, and that helps me fill the bucket in my heart that at one time was so empty. It helps me fill it with God's love and like how precious he thinks I am, how he sings over me, and all of these wonderful things that I may have heard, but I never intentionally paid attention to them. So today, that's what I intentionally fill my bucket with. And I love that bucket thing.
Mm, yeah. Well, I hope that as you go into this new year, Corey, you'll find improved relationships and you'll find you're continuing to grow and in your own life. Life is so short that we always got to be on a path of growth, don't we? All right. Hey, in just about 2 minutes, I want to ask you for a favor. I want to ask you as a listener for something very important, okay? And I'll get to that in a couple minutes.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wish I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
Last week, you're talking about stories in Washington, D.C. Last week, on the last day, I think it was, Donna, we were sitting at the table for breakfast, and a woman came up, and I don't even remember her name now. She just sat down and said, hey, I got to share something with you. She said, we're from the Tucson area, and she said, my dad was in the hospital at University Medical Hospital, and he happened to end up in the same room with your dad. So he later told this woman who was on the tour with us, there was this guy in the room with me, and he was really wealthy. He had a ranch and a bunch of radio stations. Well, yeah, he had a ranch for underprivileged kids, and a bunch of radio stations were all nonprofit, so he wasn't wealthy at all, except in service to people. But she stopped and she said, I want you to know something. Your dad so impacted my father's life in that hospital room. It changed his life for the rest of his life. Life made no sense. Here's my dad sitting at University Medical Center going through another difficult situation, and there's a guy planted next to him in the bed who needed to hear encouragement, needed to hear the gospel, needed to hear that Jesus makes sense even when we're here in the hospital and life makes no sense, and it radically changed his life. By the way, Life Doesn't Make Sense is the topic for December. Members, you've received the teaching already. Hope you're enjoying it. We're starting 2019 with a series throughout the year called Living on Purpose. We believe that when we live intentionally, we're living on purpose, and it's life transformational. And I just want to say thanks to all of you during 2018, each of you who have prayed for us, the thousands of people that we've met and we have had a chance to shake your hand or autograph a book or pray with you. Thanks to those of you who've called in. Thank you for helping make intentional living a reality. Now, we're closing out this year, and Intentional Living Ministry is funded separate from the radio station. It's under the same umbrella with the Family Life Communications Ministry, but funded separate from the radio station. And so when I tell you where we are, this is just for intentional living. I'm happy to report, but also have a great sense of urgency when I share this. We have $67,500 to go is what the last report is to close out 2018 for intentional living. That's a lot. That's a big nut to crack between now and this weekend and on Monday. And I'm just going to ask you boldly and just very directly to be a finisher with me to help us close out this year. Your very best gift for intentional living will make a huge difference right now, and it will be matched dollar for dollar. That means your gift of $100 will become $200 for the ministry, 500 becomes 1,000, 1,000 becomes 2,000. And I need some of you, I'm just praying that some of you will step up at those levels. But whatever you can do, come and join us. Help me close out this year. We cannot go into 2019 not being fully funded, because it really impacts the ministry impact that we have planned to do, to share, to do ministry. And we don't borrow money. Every dollar goes back into ministry. So can I just boldly ask some of you to step up big, big time, okay? Here's what you need to do. For tax purposes this year, do it now. It'll be matched. Just go to theintentionallife.com right now. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on donate, or call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Your gift will be matched. You're going to help us close out this year. We can see the finish line. Let's do this together. Thank you by going to theintentionallife.com. You are standing with this ministry, and thank you for your support. Okay, let's go back. We got time for calls. Let's get back. I think Taylor's in Arizona with a question. Go right ahead, Taylor.
I'm calling today because I heard your message today is about honoring your parents. And I've been really struggling with this as I found out that my mom was cheating on my dad for 2 years. And there's just some things that she said to me over the past few years that have really pulled me down. And so it's been hard for me to honor her when she's done these things that I know aren't right. So I just don't know how to move forward with her when she doesn't seem to feel bad for what she's done to our family. And so I guess I'm just looking for some guidance as to what I should do.
It's a tough one, Taylor. It's a lot easier, isn't it, when someone acknowledges they're wrong, takes responsibility, and says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Because when they do that, they basically put the ball back in our court to say we are or we aren't. And if we have a disposition that says, hey, we want to forgive, you know, it's easier to do so. But when a person doesn't acknowledge it or recognize it or take any responsibility for an action, past or present, almost as though it never happened, or it's just your problem and not hers or theirs, it makes it particularly difficult. We get back to what the scripture teaches, though. The Bible is clear that in life, we're going to, you know, we're going to have people who will mistreat us. There's going to be things that are wrong. There's going to be times we're going to have to forgive. And so forgiveness is different to me than honoring. I think they're kind of parallel, but they're different. I can forgive you, but I can still hold you accountable for whatever the action is. I can either put those boundaries in place. And so don't mistake the fact as being a Christian that because we forgive, that means we have to forget and not hold someone accountable. I mean, if you've been wrong, let's just use a really practical matter. If someone has broken into your house and stole things, you may need to forgive them, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be a consequence for their behavior with law enforcement or new locks on your door, right? The forgiveness means that forgiveness is something you're almost not only giving to them, but you're giving to yourself. You're getting this thing off your back to say, I'm just no longer going to stay stuck. It's like the guy who just cut you off on the road and you are angry 5 minutes later and they've gone merrily along their way. And when that happens, we're staying stuck and we ought not do that. Okay, let me see here. We've got Louise in Florida, I think, wants to share a story with us. Go right ahead, Louise.
I had my mother-in-law move in with me many years ago, and I lived with her for 13 years with my husband, and he wasn't able to set boundaries at all with her. And I wanted her in the home. In fact, I was the one that initiated it because I thought it was the right Christian thing to do. However, she undermined me with my young son. She undermined my marriage. We'd have discussions in front of her, and she would answer for either one of us at times. And it got to the point where I couldn't take the stress, and it was ruining the marriage. And I kept telling my husband, it's either her or me. It's either her or me. And he kept talking me down and saying things would change, only it never did. It the marriage did end in divorce. So now when I ever hear of any young couple considering, or any couple considering having the mother-in-law move in, I tell them to not do it. And I know that's just a broad sweeping generalization, but it's too complicated to even realize what's going to be involved. So I just recommend they don't do it.
Hey, listen, Louise, and I heard you say that it's a generalization, because it is, because I know that there are people who have mother-in-law living with them and do great. But if the mother-in-law is not being accepted by the daughter-in-law, if that relationship isn't good, or son-in-law, there's where the problem is. And it comes back to what I said earlier, and I think to summarize this whole thing on boundaries, because that's where this program has gone today. If you and your spouse in a marriage are having issues with a mother-in-law, or, you know, it could be any in-law relationship, there are, the ABCs of this deal is this. Number one, you two have to be in agreement. If there's going to be light between you, you're going to have a problem. This is going to require some maturity and prayer, coming to an agreement, maybe getting some counseling. And then how do you intentionally put some healthy boundaries in place with these people that you love or person that you love? And then make sure that Christ is the centerpiece of all of your attitude in the middle of this. That's really the ABC: agreement, boundaries, and Christ-centeredness. Well, you know, I think if those three things are a part of your decision with a difficult relationship with a person that you love, but it's a difficult person, that's a good way to get started. Well, I can't believe it. As I look back over this year, how many things we've had an opportunity to do together, and I want to thank each of you who have prayed for us and supported the ministry of Intentional Living. You've heard me with a lot of intensity today on the financial need, because we're going into this final weekend, wrapping up on Monday, with a need of $67,500 for Intentional Living, which is funded separate from the radio station. That's a big nut to crack, but I just know that God, obviously He can do this, but He's going to use you to do it. So whatever you're able to do, and to know that your gift will be matched dollar for dollar right now for the ministry. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement. Would you help us close strong? Help us finish? Your best gift, 100 becomes 200, 500 becomes 1,000. I'm going to pray that some of you could join us with $1,000 and have it matched right now. Would you do that? Give us a call, 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate. And again, thank you for your support. We're going to look for a great report on Monday because of your generous gift right now being matched to Intentional Living. Thank you.